Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's a Wednesday on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. Trent Condon and Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours, talking sports with you. Glad you can spend at least some of that period of time with us. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today, we are going to start at the bottom of the hour with Ben Visser, who covers Iowa State and was at the press conference yesterday. Matt Campbell's press conference. Ben Visser from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us for, I think that's the first time we've spoken with him since fall camp has gotten underway and as we approach Saturday. Ben Visser on Iowa State at the bottom of the hour. Well, if you like sports betting, you're going to love 1045 on Wednesday and Thursday because in those two slots we got two really good handicappers. Kenny White is with us on Wednesday. He will be here today. He's got a handful of games he wants to look at. Getting ahead of ourselves, but tomorrow Lee Sterling rejoins the program, and Lee will be with us throughout the entire football season. And he, likewise, is a 10:45-ish, but on Thursday. So today, Ben Visser and Kenny White in hour number one. Hour number two, it's Wednesday. We start with David Kaplan, our friend from Chicago, ESPN 1000, NBC Sports Chicago. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors David Kaplan's appearance, and Cappy will join us to kick off hour number two. And then to finish up the guest list in the second hour of the program, we are going to do Hawks. John Bowenkamp was at Kirk Ferentz's press conference, as well as a number of the players that preceded that yesterday. So John Bowenkamp, who wrote the story, the AP story on yesterday's doings, will join us at 11:30. So that's the lineup today. We're going to play the hits with Iowa State and Iowa, a little sports wagering sprinkled in, as well as a trip to Chicago to catch up with the Gap Man. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little disappointed last night, 5:40, getting ready for Cardinals Reds.
Yeah, wasn't that me too? Likewise.
Doubleheader, though, coming up today, so that will start right after we finish up, so that'll be a little afternoon listening, bouncing around, and away we go with baseball. College football begins again tonight. UAB.
Yeah. I know you're excited about this game. You must have an opinion.
Nah. I don't really have one, but I'll probably play it.
Well, it's college football, and but it really gets going tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, because you got football Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and then you take Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then rinse and repeat. Thursday, the NFL. Friday, Saturday, .. right through till more February. As we said yesterday, this is autopilot time for this program for the next 4 or 5 months. I just love it. Just absolutely ensconced in it, roll around in football. Just glorious, is it not?
So I come in today. You're talking to our one of our directors of sales, Scott Knock, and you guys are talking football and talking wagering, and the conversation shifts to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, okay. I know where you're going.
So yesterday, of course, Iowa had their media day, their press conference, their weekly press conference. And again, the glowing rave reviews for the quarterback.
Can I read the quote?
Spencer Petras. What do you got for us?
How is Spencer, and where is he from this point last year to now? Coach Ferentz, it's a night and day comparison. Good enough for me.
That's all you need, because they said the exact same things last year. Going into the season.
Well, he didn't say night and day because there was no day to compare to.
But as prepared as they've had, he was handed the job.
I agree.
Everything was positive about Petras.
Yep. I know you're not on board.
And he was a pants crapper.
Here's what puts me over to the top. As I've said, going back, what was it, 3 weeks ago, three Saturdays ago, Kids Day, the day the media got to be there. I know there's a number of media fans that our media fans.
yes.
Freudian slip. That are going to write glowingly. But to a media person, male, female, new to the beat, long in the tooth on the beat, they all came away with the same impression, that he was the star of the day. And so I put that in the back of my mind. And then when I see what Coach Ferentz said yesterday, last year he went into the season cold, no spring ball, no camp. And when the night and day comparison, Trent, here's what I'll say. I've upgraded Iowa in my mind. I thought the Indiana game was going to go the Hoosiers' way because of Spencer Petras. I think I will win that football game. And I'm at the point right now that I wish we could go back with Bama and have a redo, because why can't Iowa win? If Spencer Petras is, he's got to be better than half as good, is what they're saying.
Right, yeah.
If he's anywhere close to the raves that that we're reading and hearing about him, then this was the question mark to mine. I get the defensive line, the depth is an issue.
Sure.
Back seven is as stout as you're going to find in college football. But if Petras with the receivers, and I think they're good, we know the tight end's good, we know they can run the football, we know the offensive line can block. If Petras is, I don't want to say serviceable, he's got to be better than that. But what I'm saying is I now think that I was going to be better than I originally did based on Spencer Petras and the reports you're hearing.
Quarterback 109 from Pro Football Focus in their preseason rankings of 130. A guy that was a throw away from being benched against Illinois.
Yep.
And now it's all coming together.
Right.
He has arm talent. There's no doubt. The arm talent is there. He can chuck it anywhere. But when the bullets are flying, when he walks in week two to Jack Trice Stadium and makes his first road start with actually fans
in the
stadium.
Building, yep.
What is that guy going to look like? A guy that last year, even when he was playing well, go back to the Wisconsin game, and when Amir Smith-Marset did the flip into the end zone as they were putting that game away, the question was asked to Petras in the post-game press conference. What did you think of him doing the flip into the end zone? He said he didn't see it because he was going so crazy, he was freaking out after he threw a touchdown pass and threw a bullet there. That's a guy that's still mentally, I wonder if the highs are going to be too high, the lows are going to go too low. The clapping after a bad pass and an incompletion, it drove me nuts last year. You make a bet, clap. No. There's something about him that I can't wrap my arms around.
You're going to come out in here after the Penn State game wearing a Spencer Petras jersey on Monday.
I'm not a jersey guy.
You might make an exception because I think he's going to change your mind. No, I don't think you're going to make an exception. But look, I hope I'm right because this is the big concern to me. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And I wasn't sure that Iowa had a quarterback. I thought that this could be as bad as a 7-5 football team because of their quarterback. Right now, I can't go there. Now I'm going to take the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Right, seashells and balloons. Maybe I'm getting a little soft in my old age, but I'm going to take the positive side of all of this and walk into the Hawkeye season thinking they've got a quarterback and they've got a chance at a really good season.
The other part,
because I didn't,
you mentioned was the offensive line. And I'm still in wait-and-see mode with that offensive
because of
line.
The youth?
Youth is a big part of it. Linderbaum's going to be a stud.
Right.
And he's going to help out who's ever on either side of him. He is that good, that his importance to the offensive line. But you look out wide. Looked like it was going to be Mason Richmond. Now it's Jack Plum starting at left tackle.
Back-to-back years, they've lost guys at the tackle position that are on now. Jackson made the Rams.
Yes, he did. Right? I saw that.
And Tristan Wirfs is going to make every postseason.
He's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he could. I mean, that 1 year is crazy to think about, but look what he did last year.
You got Nick DeYoung, a walk-on, on the other tackle spot. Uh-huh. Now, walk-ons on the offensive line, that's not a big deal for Iowa. They developed him well. I still have concerns there. Goodson. That dude is a stud. Yeah. Everything that I have heard about him this offseason, it has gone to a completely new level. He went from a nice college running back last year.
He's better than that.
He can be a star if that offensive
line
comes together.
And here's the thing, Trent. I got to think he's sick and tired about hearing the other running back in the state talked about all the time.
Right.
I got to think that he's using that as motivation. I'm with you. I think Tyler Goodson's going to have a terrific year. How about Mekhi Sargent making an NFL roster?
Yeah, another.
He looked good in preseason.
I was very surprised by that. Saw a couple of highlights. And
Heflin, part of the 53. Not a practice squad.
Right.
Part of the 53 with the Green Bay Packers.
Not too bad. had for a couple of
Sinekin was raving about that with us yesterday, about him.
Back to Petras. Okay. Give me baseline numbers for Iowa to ascend past a nice 8-4 type of season to win the Big Ten West.
Okay.
That's the starting point. This is the hump they have to get over, because they've had teams good enough over this last 5-year stretch to be there. And they have.
What was his completion percentage last year? Do you have
57%?
Well, he's got up that obviously by
62?
Big time. Nah, even I'd go a little bit higher.
Okay.
I was going mid 60s. 64, 65.
All right, so get it up there. Yeah. Last year, touchdown to interception ratio was 9-5.
Well,
that was in an abbreviated season, obviously.
I still like the ratio.
Are we talking 24-12? 24-8?
Well, that were even better.
right. And then passing yards. If the offensive line is solid, if the running game is as good as it can be, realistic to anticipate he throws for 2,800 yards in the...
I was going to say just a tad under 3.
Yeah. So right in that range. So those are the benchmarks. Spencer Petras hits those numbers. I'm with you. Because I do like a lot of this team.
Has LaPorta got another step?
I don't know athletically if he's that guy. He's not T.J. Hockenson.
No.
He's not Noah Fant. Those guys are incredibly rare.
You see, T.J. Hockenson made somebody's, I think it might have been Pro Football Focus, overrated list this year. Now, I know he's hurt last year.
He's got to be healthy.
Yeah. No, Fant's not healthy, by the way.
Oh, he's not?
Ah, Jesus. This kid's got a chance to be really good, too.
Yes.
After his first year, where he couldn't catch a ball to save his life, he really came on last year. Anyways, enough about the Broncos.
But a lot of tight end talk, too. It's Meehan. It's... Lachey. And the kid Yelverson, the kid from Texas, that was one of the top tight ends in the country. They got depth there. They got receiver.
Lachey got the gig as the number two.
What about a big receiver? That's kind of a missing component, too.
It kind of is.
Tyrone Tracy's 5'11.
Keegan Johnson's got some size.
6'2.
Big, yeah, 6'2, 6'1, 6'2.
So that's probably the guy that you're looking at to be that bigger receiver out there. But you're right. There's so many pieces there that you can point to and get excited about. It's about getting over the hump for me. It's not about being 8-4, even 9-3.
It's representing the West.
It's getting to Indianapolis. Yep. That is the breakthrough moment that this program needs. You look at those lists, you know, best record the last 4 years. I was in the top 8 in the country in victories over the last 4 seasons, yet haven't made an appearance in Indianapolis.
I know.
And that leaves it pretty hollow to me.
No, it's close. It sticks out like a sore thumb. I'm with you. Well, we'll see, but I'm on the Spencer Petras bandwagon. I'm not leading it yet, but I've, you know, scraped my knees jumping onto it. Somebody had to pull me up and glad to give me a little boost up onto the bandwagon. It's filling up, by the way.
It is.
Looking over in that corner, there's a whole bunch of Iowa media members over in that corner of it. We'll see how he does. Look at this test right out of the chute, man. This is going to be something. Because this Indiana team, look, I don't know if they're the, I don't think they're the second best team in the East. I don't.
No.
But I think that they're going to contend for that. When the dust settles, I don't believe they're going to be second. But you know, are you surprised at the Michigan love? Is it just because it's Michigan?
I'm not surprised by it.
No, I guess not surprised is the right word. But what am I missing? Because seemingly year after year, and they haven't done that under Harbaugh.
They're not tough. They recruit well. They got dudes. But just think of that offense. What about that offense? Oh, they got it right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't see anything there.
Who did they open up with? Do you remember?
Western Michigan, and then week 2 is against Washington.
Yeah.
Their first Big Ten game is Rutgers coming to Ann Arbor. Then they go to Wisconsin, to Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Shannon's going to pick off some sweats this year.
They're building.
I think they are, too. I think they got the right guy back again to get that program back. So they, week 2, they get Washington. Well, that's good. I get to see... Washington's my pick to win the Big 12. Pac-12.
You're on the Washington side.
I think so. Just maybe contrarian. Everybody's picking
Oregon. I got Utah.
That's a good one.
I got Utah.
Yeah, that's a good one. What price are they? Do you remember?
To win the conference, I think they're like 8-1. To win the South, they're like plus 250.
Okay. Is Washington 10-1? I think I saw them at.
No, they can't be that high. They're like 3-1.
Are they that low?
Yeah.
Well, I put them in our media comp picks. I don't remember what I wrote yesterday.
Because they were the second pick.
It was Oregon, Washington, before anybody, really.
Yeah, and then USC. I want to say that's what it was.
Okay.
I'll pull it up here regardless. But back to Indiana for a moment.
Yeah.
Offensive line we talked about for Iowa. Indiana, Tom Allen's going to be bringing guys from everywhere. They're going to put pressure on. And we're going to know right away with Spencer Petras. And back to that part of the conversation, because This is not a team that's going to sit in a base 4-3, let you pick him apart.
Yeah.
He's going to have to make quick decisions. He's going to have to get the ball out. And if he doesn't...
You're hearing about that. Again, it's practice, and he's going against the same guys day after day after day.
But he's wearing that red jersey.
I know.
No contact.
Yep.
Bullets are flying.
But you keep hearing about the elevation of his getting the ball out process, making decisions. The decision process has been sped up, .. Trent, I can't find anything... I mean, I haven't heard one negative thing about the dude this year. I really haven't. You go back to all the video clips that were out there all summer long, the work that he's been putting in. Maybe I've been sold a bill of goods. You know, maybe we'll get to week three or week four and I'll come in with egg on my face and admit I made the wrong decision.
We heard it last year.
I don't think to this extent.
Right. You're right. Yeah. It was a different level at that point. Not finding the Pac-12.
Were they just building him up as much as anything because he was replacing, you know, guys started. And by the way, Nate Stanley was released yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a surprise.
No.
Designated injury release for the Vikings. You think he'll get another gig?
At this point, going to be tough.
Know. I'm with you.
Not a whole lot of film to go on either, and that makes it incredibly difficult.
Well, this year you don't have any.
Right. Yeah, here's the odds. This is from Bet Rivers.
Yeah.
Oregon 3-1. Washington 7-2. Plus
7-2, right.
And then Utah 5-1 now. Wow. People are jumping out with the Utes along with USC also 5-1. Arizona State also 5-1 to win the Pac-12.
Herm. He's got a quarterback. We know that much.
Also got sanctions coming his way.
Yeah. Right, bringing all those kids in when they weren't supposed to. Nick Neiman made the Chargers?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, apparently.
I didn't see that.
Somebody text me that. How about that? A couple of Neimans in the league. Fountain made the Chiefs.
Saw that.
Good for him.
Yes.
Mitch Holtis kind of tipped that off, that he was going to be very, very difficult to keep off a roster, so we shall see. By the way, the news of the blood drive, we had Danielle West on. I know the Morning Rush had her on today. They're sold out. Not sold out. They're full up. That's the best way to put it.
Wow.
At Principal Park on Tuesday when both the Morning Rush, well, Sean and Heather are out there, and then we'll follow in at 10 o'clock. So that's good news. Thank you to the KXNO listeners for filling up those slots, taking a lot of those What Color Do You Bleed slots on Tuesday.
And since they are filled up, they are still opening up spots, though. It'll be back at their main offices where you can still donate blood that day. So you can still get involved, still donate, and possibly still get one of those T-shirts that come along with it.
See, the T-shirts were news to me until Heather came in this morning asking us about them.
We'll be wearing them.
Will we? Okay, cool. I'm in. She just sent me a text. What does it say? Blood drive will be doing blood draws in the skybox area, so you will give blood upstairs.
Okay.
And KXNO will be set up right outside the elevators that take you to the skyboxes.
Yep.
So you walk in the general office. To your left is the, you know, that window for the it's the kind of the administration window.
Right.
And then get on the elevator, and that's where we will do our stuff on Tuesday, and the Morning Rush will precede us. But thank you to the KXNO listeners who have taken all those slots. All right, final thing I want to get to in the first segment of the program. Again, Ben Visser coming up on Iowa State. He was at Campbell's press conference yesterday. Gary Barta also spoke to the media yesterday. And my biggest takeaway from everything that he said, he didn't want to speculate. What did he say? He can't see into the future,
right,
which,
yeah,
you know, is kind of a throwaway line. But the one that wasn't a throwaway line was the fact that they need to play seven games.
Mm-hmm.
We need seven home games.
Yes.
And that kind of was in response to Cy-Hawk, because if indeed this alliance does unfold the way we are led to believe that it will, that you're going to play an ACC team, home and away. Likewise with a Pac-12 team, you'll have a home and away. Eight Big Ten games, there's your two Alliance games, you only get two. So they need seven home games, and they're only going to have four to begin with. Those other games, one of them will be an Alliance game, and he needs those other two to be in his building. He wants them at Kinnick after 2025. So they will, as all the commissioners said when they met the media via Zoom in the Alliance unveiling, that there's no contract for, which still blows my mind.
Right.
I mean, good God. Anyways.
Looked each other in the eye.
Right. Have they not seen the way college sports has gone with or without a contract? Maybe that's why you don't need one.
Yeah.
Because they're made to be broken.
I'm going to guess Oklahoma and Texas was also looking
part of a contract. Yeah, and they were also looking people in the eye and feeling pretty good about things. But back to Barta, did you take it any differently?
Yeah, as I've said from the get-go of this, the yearly basis of Iowa State is gone after 2025. I think the flexibility that Iowa is going to need going forward and the way the structure comes together, if the alliance actually comes to fruition and we see this, and it's on a two-year basis, we're going to schedule these games out. Iowa's going to need the flexibility to have those games, and they cannot be locked in to a home-and-home. Now, that doesn't mean that Iowa State will never be played again, because I don't believe that's the case. I still think there's opportunities.
Will it ever be played again in Ames?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's heading that way. If Barta needs seven games, they're not going to expand from a 12-game set schedule, and this alliance stays in place, I don't see how you can, sadly.
Right.
I don't see how you can. The other thing, I'm worried about what's going to happen at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. We could be in the, I mean, everything could go perfectly fine, perfectly smooth, but we could also have a cluster.
Oh, yeah. I saw the exact same thing that you did. So normally game day operations for Kinnick Stadium, there's over 1,000 people that are working.
Right.
They have less than 500.
Correct. And they don't have tickets anymore.
Right.
And you saw what happened at Allegiant Stadium when they had, it was a big event. What did they have? It might have been Raiders preseason game.
Oh, okay.
And they've gone cashless, and the system was down. You couldn't get a hot dog or a beer or anything. Now, they finally started giving away the grub. Now, you couldn't get any booze. They were going to give that away. But, help yourself the hot dogs. You need peanuts, take peanuts. So that was something. But this is to localize it and bring it closer to home. Bondurant High School on Friday night is ticketless.
Really?
Yes. Crashed.
Oh, no.
Crashed. Yes.
And that's with a couple thousand people.
That's with a couple of thousand people, or 1,500. I mean, I have no idea I'm going to go to that game.
This is 70,000.
Right. Right. And with 500 people working, and old people like me that like a ticket and are scared to death of showing up at a stadium with something on my phone, you tell me this is going to get me in?
Yeah.
And this is going to work?
That's not just you. That's me. That's a lot of people. I had to download Google Pay for that because if you're offline, and how many times have I been in Iowa City and there's no internet
right.
on your phone? Hundreds.
Right.
All right, so you got that. So I downloaded Google Pay, and then I took a screenshot of it. And there was also a part of me that I just wanted to print one just to have in my pocket. And I know they won't take it, but just to have it. Say, yes, I can get in. Just let me in, please.
Yes.
And if it gets to that point, if something goes bad and something goes wrong, I'm going to be happy to have that in my pocket. I don't know if it'll get me in, but if the systems go down, and they very well could, I want to have some kind of backup.
Well, that's just it. I mean, they can't do what Allegiant says here. Take a hot dog. Take whatever you need. They just can't open the doors and let anybody walk in. Apparently, it was a Gold Cup final at Allegiant Stadium. John Liebel just sent me that text.
Yeah.
Thank you, John, for the clarification. So we'll see, Trent. Here's another part of this thing, right? We have tickets to give away. We gave away tickets to the Indiana game, Fuller Dental tickets. You know how I had to send them to them electronically.
Right.
You and I both work with a guy that has a pretty bad reputation with tickets, right?
Absolutely.
This is going to come back on the Miller and Condon show if this doesn't work.
Well, it's not on us.
Well, I get it, but it's
good.
My fear on this, right?
Yes, yeah. You sent it to him?
He's got him. He's had him since Monday. But what if he doesn't get in? The register story on us. I mean, come on. But I'm scared.
Here's my ticket right here.
That's I know.
It's scary. It's just a QR code.
All right. So you get in the door.
I like technology. I don't like it this much.
I'm with you.
And for season ticket holders, I know there's cost involved. Season tickets cost a pretty penny.
Yes, you want a ticket.
Even if it is, okay, they're going. But I like having those ticket stubs. I like looking through them. I like going back and remembering the games. And I got a big bucket with just tons of them.
You should go through it, by the way, because the price of tickets my God.
And just having that component of it completely taken away. I'm trying to think back. There was a bowl game. It wasn't the Rose Bowl, but there was a bowl game that was the same way. We just had, it was the Big Ten Championship game in 2015.
And you didn't have tickets for that?
We didn't have, they were mobile tickets. And you could send it back into the Indianapolis Bureau, whoever runs, the Big Ten Championship game. And they'll send you an actual ticket. And now looking back, I forgot to even do that. But that's another one. I'd love to have that ticket.
I'm with you. I mean, people, I want a ticket in my hand when I'm walking through. That means I'm going to get in. Don't have my phone, didn't download it properly. I messed up somewhere. Look, and at least in my case, as I'm assuming in a lot of people's case, there'll be some pilot error, right? This is probably my fault in a lot of times, but I'm scared to death about this. You get in, then you want a beer and a hot dog. And the cash thing, the concessions is down. We'll see. Let's get Rich. Then we're going to talk Iowa State. Ben Visser, Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join us. Cappy coming up at 11:05. What else? Kenny White, tremendous handicapper from Vegas. He passed out to Fresno State first half last week. That was a, you didn't even have to sweat about that one. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
So, yeah, we purchased season tickets this spring too, and so the only smartphone I have is one for work, and then my personal phone is a flip phone. So I called the ticket office about 2.5 weeks ago, and they mailed me paper tickets. So I do have paper tickets to the game. If you don't have the technology, they will mail you the paper tickets.
And that's good to know.
The QR code's on there, so you can they'll just scan it the same way they would on the phone, and you're good to go. Is that right?
Yep.
So, Rich, is it? They're not like tickets that we used to get, though, right?
Yeah, they're paper tickets.
They are actual tickets. Is there a player on them, black and gold, that type of thing?
No, they're just a... Like you've seen in the past, like if you go to Will Call, they're just the plain
gotcha.
White tickets with everything on it. But there's no pictures of like Brad Banks or anything.
Right.
It's just I called up and said, hey, you know, there's going to be games. My wife won't be able to go with me. So what do I do? So she said, oh, we'll just get you some paper tickets. And within, I don't know, 3 or 4 days or
that's good.
That's good to know.
Rich, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Good stuff. Well, I guess there is that option. Although Doc Fuller said the same thing, and he's still waiting on his.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's scared to death, too.
That's a little scary.
he's old.
From one of our Twitter followers, J.A. Scott, says it appears Iowa State also having issues finding enough workers for their game. This comes from a tweet from Iowa State Athletics. Job openings, best crowd management is searching for professional service-focused individuals for guest services. So this is going to be everywhere.
Patience, folks. Get to the games early. I mean, they're trying. They want you in the building. Just try and remember that as you fight the crowds. Anyways, but you know what? It's a good fight. That means football's here, and we're all grateful for that. It's coming up on 10:30. It's actually 10:28. Ben Visser will join us next. We'll talk Iowa State, recap Matt Campbell's press conference from yesterday, pick his brain a little bit on the depth chart, etc. We haven't had Ben on in a while. Look forward to that. Kenny White off to Vegas will go at 10:45. Miller and Condon with you till noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KX and 0-100.
Bets off.
Miller and Condon, welcome back. 10:35, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. We take you until noon. Let's get Ben Visser in here, Cedar Rapids Gazette. He covers Iowa State. He joins us. Ben, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm good. My pleasure, guys.
I appreciate it. Did you guys have a chance to see Charlie Kohler yesterday?
We did not. Chase Allen, Brock Purdy, Greg Eisworth and Anthony Johnson were the ones we got yesterday.
You hear anything about Kohler?
In regards to...
To him walking around in a boot not being able to play this week? And
right.
potentially longer?
We haven't... So, TBD and Campbell hasn't said anything. He usually plays really close to the chest.
Right.
So, that's going to be one of those things. We're probably going to have to wait till...
They take the field.
To find out for sure. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so what was, other than that, what was your biggest takeaway from Campbell yesterday when he met the media?
Yeah, it was a pretty standard Matt Campbell press conference. He gave updates on various players, J.R. Singleton making the jump from true freshman last year, redshirting, and then he supplants the incumbent starter to being a starter himself. So that, I think, was a pretty big... Not a big storyline, but an interesting storyline that he was able to do that. And then obviously Matt Campbell's not going to take you and I lightly. That he reiterated some form of that point many, many times. He knows you and I all too well. They handed him his first loss at Iowa State 2 years ago to go to triple overtime. So there's no big breaking takeaways the Charlie Kolar thing could have been one, but, you know, that didn't happen.
Right.
But other than that, it was pretty standard.
You know, one thing that I took away reading through the transcript is his talk about the UNI defense. They return 11 starters, everybody that started on the defensive side of the football last year. It feels like certainly has Iowa State's attention. It doesn't look like this is going to be a game. Preseason top 10 team, but they're not overlooking UNI.
No, not at all. And, yeah, Matt Campbell did praise UNI's defense. They have the returning MVC Defensive Player of the Year and their defensive tackles, Jared Brinkman. I think he had something like 9.5 tackles for loss in like 7 games last year, which is most defensive tackles get double teamed anyway. So for him to blow up that many plays while getting double teamed and getting that many tackles for loss is incredible. They have a really good cornerback in Omar Brown. He's one of those guys where he's not going to make a lot of tackles because he doesn't get the ball thrown his way that mm-hmm. often. But when the ball does get thrown his way, I mean, I think he had something like 5 pass breakups and an interception last year, again in that 7 games or whatever you and I played. So, they have pieces to contend with Iowa State. And I think that Jared Brinkman, he could be – Iowa State's offensive line is obviously very good and very veteran, but – Brinkman could be a force in there, and that could disrupt some of the things that they might want to do with Breece Hall, especially early in the game and when Brinkman is still really fresh. That could be an interesting dynamic to watch.
Yeah, I think like you're going to see a lot of times this year, right? Teams are going to – our defenses are going to scheme to shut down 28, if that's possible. And I'm not sure that it is. So that puts the onus on Brock Purdy and the receiving core. Is that what they expect? Is that what Tom Manning expects, that they're going to have to – overcome the fact that defenses are going to game plan to shut down Breece Hall?
For sure, yeah. You said it exactly right. Teams are going to attempt to stop 28 first, and they're going to let Brock Purdy try to beat him. We all know Brock Purdy, he's obviously a fantastic quarterback. You don't win this many games at Iowa State without being a really good quarterback. But his decision-making at times is iffy. So I think teams are going to bank on the fact that maybe Purdy will give him a gift once or twice a game. I wouldn't bank on that as a opposing defensive coordinator, but I suppose it's better than letting Breece Hall run all over you. So, I think Brock Purdy's going to have to step up. I think he's going to have to be more of a – in years past, and Brock Purdy has said this, in years past he felt like he had to do everything for the offense. But with the emergence of Breece Hall, Brock Purdy can slide back more into a game manager – type role, just make the right play. You don't have to make every play. And I think he has the pieces to do it. Obviously, you got one, maybe two, probably two great tight ends. Once Charlie Kolar is healthy, or if he gets healthy, whatever that whole situation is. So you got two great tight ends, which are a game manager's dream. And you have a big wide receiver with Xavier Hutchinson. You got Sean Shaw, Joe Skates on the other side. Then you got Tariq Milton healthy again. So there's plenty of pieces for Brock Purdy to get the ball to if opposing teams do manage to slow Breece Hall down a little bit and Tom Manning has to go more toward the aired out route.
Offensive line. This is what Matt Campbell said. The left side isn't nailed down. The right side isn't nailed down. You need to come to practice on Tuesday and Wednesday if you want to play on Saturday. Very no-nonsense there, but the depth this offensive line has, maybe you can say, well, it's concerned that they don't have it locked down. This is competition, game in and game out, practice in and practice out from Coach Campbell and company.
Absolutely. Iowa State has 7 players that have all started more than 5 games. So, I mean, there are 7 guys who are legitimate Big 12 players who have all played in big games and have all done really, really well. I think the first part of that, Matt Campbell saying that the left side isn't nailed down, I'd be surprised if it isn't nailed down. Because Sean Foster is the incumbent returner, and his backup is a freshman, so I think Sean Foster is pretty safe there for now. And then Trevor Downing is widely regarded as Iowa State's best offensive lineman at left guard, so I think he's going to be safe in that left guard spot. But that right side is completely open. I mean, if you just look at Iowa State's depth chart, right guard is Derek Schweiger or Daryl Simmons, and then right tackle is Jake Remsburg or Derek Schweiger, mm-hmm. So that's an interesting dynamic. Is Schweiger going to be inside on that guard spot? He's going to be outside at that tackle spot. And then which one of those redshirt sophomores, Simmons or Remsburg, is going to get the nod? Because they both played last year on that right side of the line. They both played really, really well when Derek Schweiger moved over to that left guard spot when Trevor Downing got hurt. So Remsburg and Simmons, although they're sophomores, are veterans because they played in a lot of games last year as freshmen. So that's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see who goes out there. And as Iowa State offensive line coach Jeff Meyer said, he's not a guy, and most offensive line coaches aren't like this, he's not a guy that is going to want to substitute and switch offensive linemen in and out. You want to get your crew out there and let them build that chemistry because, I mean, that's as important as on an offensive line as anything. So really interested to see how that one plays out for sure.
Ben, last thing for you. Ben Visser, Cedar Rapids Gazette, covers Iowa State. What do you think, what position group, not keeps Campbell up at night, but what's his biggest concern position group-wise, do you think?
Like you said, I don't think it keeps him up at night necessarily, but I think if we're disregarding special teams, if special teams is out the window, if we're going with our offense, defense, position groups, I would have to say the cornerback room. Anthony Johnson is obviously an all Big 12 caliber player, really good cornerback. It's that other spot on the opposite side of him that has given Iowa State troubles through the years. Right now, Daytron Young is listed as the starter. This was his first offseason healthy. Every other offseason, he's had surgeries. So is him being healthy going to be enough for him to be a consistently good football player? That's going to be interesting to see. They got Tavon Kyle behind him, who, like Daytron Young, has gotten playing time but has been, through the years, very inconsistent.
Yes, he has.
There are games where he plays well, and then there's games where he lets a guy get 270-yard catches on him and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, that cornerback room. If those guys, if Daytron Young and Tavon Kyle can step up and help out Anthony Johnson on the other side of the field, I think that's going to be huge for Iowa State. So I think that'd be my pick.
Ben Visser, Cedar Rapids Gazette, covers Iowa State. Ben, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you much.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Ben Visser on Iowa State. Off to Vegas we will go next. Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com. Cappy and John Bowen Camp on the Hawks in hour number two. Miller and Condon till noon, 1460.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. Off to Vegas we go, shall we? When do I go to Vegas? 3 weeks from, not tomorrow, 3 weeks from Friday.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of Cyclone fans, and it's the iHeart Music Awards. Oh, well, Vegas will be ready, will they not? Kenny White ready for us right now as we head to Vegas. KennyWhiteSports.com. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ken, I can't wait till you get out here. We'll definitely have to get together and maybe shoot a couple videos together outside that new stadium.
I'm all for it. In fact, I was talking to Chris Williams, who does our afternoon show. I think I'm sitting in with him when I'm out there, and he said to me, "Do you think Kenny White did stop by?" I said, "Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance he will." So anyways, we will be in touch. We're going to try and do our show at either Circa or South Point, so we'll be in touch. Hey, by the way, congrats on the Fresno State pick. You gave that out to our audience last week. That was, I mean, you didn't even have to sweat with that one, Kenny. That hay was in the barn early.
Oh, I don't know. I was sweating a little bit.
Were you?
0-0.
Yeah, early.
The end of the first quarter. And
yeah.
Fresno had not moved the ball once on offense. I was just shocked. And then all of a sudden we get a pick it up, carry it in, fumble, touchdown, and then that was it. Connecticut just lost all their gas after that happened. And Fresno finally started to put some drives together. I was impressed with Fresno. And you got to learn something each game. They play fast. Fresno plays very fast. They're going to be an up-tempo team this year.
Well, let's get to your games. We've got about 8 minutes, so let's get to them. Clemson, Georgia, right off the bat. My God, the marquee game of the weekend, nationally anyways. Big spot. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is. You know, Georgia's getting a lot of respect. This number has held 3, and I don't see it that way. I made Clemson a lot higher. Dabo Swinney's defense is just ridiculously good this year. Second-best D-line, first-best linebacking crew, second-best secondary. And, you know, he's been great in the first half of games. Dabo has 43-25 ATS the last 5 years. So something to look at. Georgia has five players from their two deep out. The two most important guys, George Pickens, ACL injury in the spring. He's worth a point. And corner Tyreek Smith, who came in from West Virginia, he's also out. And I think the Georgia, if they have a weakness, it's going to be the offensive line. They will start two redshirt freshmen with no experience, and they have five redshirt freshmen, and they're two deep on that offensive line. So very inexperienced line going up against a great Clemson defense. I think it's going to be a, you know, a little bit of a struggle for Georgia.
Friday afternoon for you, 3 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Central. It's ACC football. Carolina making their way to take on Va Tech. Be a little bit different with Back in Black coming out there and ACDC rumbling through in the afternoon. But takeaway here, it almost feels too easy. Everybody, a lot of people love Carolina coming into the season. Fuente and company of Virginia Tech, 5.5 the number.
Yeah, I am so nervous about this one because I have North Carolina ranked the fourth best team in the country, and a lot of, and all of it, not a lot of it, all of it has to do with Sam Howell. I gave him a rating of 13 points above average, so he has to live up to that. That's going to be tough to do. I think he can do it. He did it last year. That's all he's got to do is complete 68% of his passes, 10 yards a pass, 30 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions, and he can do it. So the pressure is on. If Sam Howell can withstand the pressure of being a Heisman candidate and maybe the first pick in the NFL draft, North Carolina is going to have a great year. Virginia Tech still, Justin Fuentes just hasn't done anything there yet. He's got to be on the hot seat. Has not done well at home, 16-15 ATS. But he's got a pretty good team back, a lot of experience. The defense is rated pretty high. And they're going to have an orange out at Lane Stadium. It'll be all orange, but there could be some North Carolina blue in there because they are only 171 miles away. I'm hoping that's the case. Hendon Hooker, their starting quarterback from last year, decided to transfer to Tennessee. That leaves Braxton Burmeister the starter. He was originally an Oregon guy, but nowhere near as good as Hooker was. So, again, Virginia Tech's going to be playing with a lot of energy and fired up. North Carolina just needs to get through that game early without falling behind, and I think they can pull this one out.
Alabama and Miami, pretty big game on Saturday night. Alabama, a new quarterback. Some will say that this is Saban's year to have a bit of a comeback, if you will. Miami is come down. Miami with an injured quarterback making his way back. It's a big number, open to 17.5 all the way to 19.5 now, Kenny White.
Yeah, they're the quarterbacks are the big question marks because you're Derek King for Miami, ACL injury in the bowl game, had surgery on January 2nd or 3rd in that early in January, and he said, I will be back for the Alabama game. And he has made it back in unbelievable Superman time. It usually takes 9 to 12 months to recover from that injury, and He's done it amazingly quick. So that'll be a question mark. We'll keep our eyes on King in that game and how he moves around. Obviously, Alabama just reloads with talent. Their defense is they're going to be their strength, I think. Third best D-line, second best linebackers, and best defensive backs. But the offense, you know, I guess you can't count them out. I have them scoring 40-some points in this game. And Bryce Young is a five-star kid. The offensive line is loaded with five-star offensive linemen, and they've got two tackles that are breaking in with no experience, but both guys are 6'7", 330, and both of them run a 5.25 or 5.340. That's ridiculously time for that big of a man. So this team is loaded with talent again, little experience on offense.
A game that I'm struggling to get a read on is LSU making their way out to UCLA. Now, normally, without a hurricane, I mean, there would be tens of thousands of LSU fans. We'll see how many people are limited getting out there. Durante Jones takes over as defensive coordinator for Bo Pelini at LSU. That's a huge upgrade. Anybody be an upgrade from what Pelini tried to do a season ago. We saw UCLA dominate Hawaii with Charbonneau running the ball incredibly well. Didn't see a ton out of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, though, throwing the football. Help me out here, LSU, UCLA.
Yeah, no, great setup. You're right. Thompson Robinson was underwhelming, 10 for 20 for 130 yards against the bad Hawaii defense. Zach Charbonneau only had to carry it 6 times. I think you're going to see him lug it 20 to 25 times against LSU. Now, you could bring up great questions. Will LSU's fans travel after the hurricane? Not sure if they will or not. When I turned the game on UCLA Hawaii, I was absolutely shocked.
Yes.
That it looked like there was nobody in the stands, like it was a practice game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe it's California and they're limiting how many people can go in. That wasn't the case. People just don't want to go, and they've been unhappy with the Bruins. They're not going because of COVID-19 and the Bruins' success the last couple of years, or lack of. So I'm hoping that it's LSU and a big win will get more fans in the stands. I think UCLA has the talent this year to compete with LSU, not just compete, win the game, but they're going to need that fan support to help this game out. Miles Brennan is out at quarterback. Max Johnson, sophomore lefty, will start. And he had a lot of time last year. He played well for a freshman. But I still have a 2.5-point drop-off from Brennan to Johnson. I think Brennan's the better quarterback. The O-line is the strength of LSU this year, so I think you're going to see a lot of running by both teams in this football game.
Let's finish things up with how we'll finish up the weekend. Louisville, Ole Miss. Kiffin's got a quarterback. He's got a couple of them. I can't believe Plumlee's still there, didn't transfer. I thought he was going to be the guy, but Correll is the guy, and he's a hell of a player. Ole Miss, about 10.5-point favorite. I know nothing about Louisville. Help me out.
Yeah, dual threat and Correll, so I won't go there, but this is a team I've got ranked very high, and they play fast. Kiffin's going to want to play ultra-fast in this game. And on the other side, Louisville wants to play slow. Scott Satterfield came from Appalachian State. He's been there 2 years. 129 plays a game last year, was like 17th lowest in college football. They love to run the ball. He loves the power run game. He does return 10 players on offense with starting experience, including his quarterback, Malik Cunningham, who I had rated a lot higher last year, but had a little bit of a down year. Expect him to bounce back, but he did lose his top two wide receivers, both drafted in the NFL. It's always tough when you lose those type of guys. But again, this is going to be a game that Louisville wants to play slow, and Mississippi's going to want to speed this game up. So we'll see who wins that battle of tempo in this game. Going to be a fun one to watch, though. The total open 70 is down to 66.5, and that's right where I made it, right at 66.5.
We shall see. Kenny White, kennywhitesports.com. Trent's got the magazine in hand. He said, my God, there's a lot in here. what have you got going on at Kenny White Sports?
Yeah, we're still, the season's, this is the big week. Get the magazine now, and we'll still use our coupon code for you guys, Miller and Condon, 25. You get 25% off at kennywhitesports.com. And it's so exciting. Week one was great. All the predictions from the magazine came true. The magazine loved UCLA. It loved Fresno. It loved San Jose. It loved Illinois, an underdog that won straight up. So I'm hoping that role continues into week one and all the way through the season.
Good stuff, and we will talk season, including next week when Cyhawk is upon us here in the state of Iowa. Kenny White, have a great week, Kenny White. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you. Kenny White, kennywhitesports.com. Hour number two, Cappy kicks it off. John Bowenkamp on the Hawks. So we take you until noon on 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM.